Father, we thank you for life in you. We thank you through your body and your blood. We find eternal life, not a earthly life modified, but a brand new life within you. We thank you that today is another day unto salvation. Today is another day to come into a life that is pure, a life that we've been created for, and a life we've been called to live from. It's a life that glorifies your name, and a life that is able to live out a wisdom that is not of earth, that speaks of your glory, that leads people to you, for you to do what only you can do. So, Father, we thank you that today is an opportunity, it's a gift that you've given us, and it's a gift to come to know you more. It's a gift to be filled with you more, to be able to live the more than life based on the knowledge of who you are, not what you do or what you've done. And I pray, God, that we would, as what we've just heard, know what it is to enter into the in him life, to know what it is to live from him, not towards him. To know what it is to have him put in, not us try to put on. Life eternal. So, Father, I thank you that today is another gift. It's another opportunity. It's another invitation to know of this life that we were predestined for before the foundations of the world. And I thank you that in your Son you have given us every blessing in the Spirit, in heavenly places, in your Son, Jesus Christ. Not in heaven, but in the Spirit, in the one who is Spirit, who came to earth for us to know, who asked us, who do you say I am? Lord, I pray that our answer would not just be intellectual, but it would come from experiencing a divine impartation of who you are, ultimately love, and a love that is all-knowing, all-encompassing, all-conquering, unquenchable, and all-powerful. And Lord, if we don't know that today, may we seek you with a pure motive of heart, to want to know you on the basis of who you are, not what you can do for us, but just who you are. Knowing that from that reality, we on the inside will unlock rivers of living water. So we're here today to meet you. We're here to encounter you. I pray we've already encountered you through one another. And what we're about to hear, we would encounter you more, that we would leave here different than when we walked in. Because to not would miss the invitation and the opportunity that you wanted to give. And so, Father, I pray our hearts would be attentive right now, and our ears would be tuned in right now to what you have done, what you're wanting to do, what you will do. So then we can just be the model of what it is to look like you, sound like you, to live like you, to give like you, to be like the Son, as sons. So I pray this in the powerful name of my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you to spin around. Reminds me of that song, "You Spin Me Right Round, Baby." You're in the 80s, you know it. If you're born before that, you might not. If you're born in the 2000s, you go, "What on earth was that?" Danny will know it. Dino knows all the songs. He can't sing them well, but he knows them all. 10 out of 10 for effort. So that was powerful, right? And, you know, in the apostolic and the prophetic get together, it's a tag team. And they work in tandem along with the other three gifts, but there's something powerful about the apostolic and the prophetic when they come together and they work together as one and release something and build on something, because it's from precept to precept to precept to precept. This is a progressive life in Christ, because the kingdom is always progressing. It is never standing still. So we have to ask ourselves, if our lives are standing still, why? Why is my life standing still when the kingdom is constantly progressing? Going from strength to strength to strength. This is the declaration of God to us. So if our lives are still, I hope they're not going backwards. Because you can go backwards, right? You can plateau and start to drop, because all you ever know is all you ever know. And so ultimately you start going on a decline. And this is what's crazy. Even what you know of God can become a little bit boring, because you're not constantly moving forward and coming into more, because he wants us in more, because he knows us. And he knows if we dawdle, or if we look away from him, or we start getting excited about lemon coconut muffins or chocolate cocoa ras or sandwiches and croissants, then all of a sudden my flesh, which I'm nurturing, is going to be drawn away from that, from him to that. Now that can be anything. That can be football, that can be marriage, that can be kids, that can be job, that can be finances, whatever the things are that are not wrong, but if my eyes are on them, then I'm going to be plateauing, and then I'm going to start to decline, because there's no life in that. There's only life in the one who said he was life. So what the prophetic does, it asks you questions. I know when I was on Cambodia, when this lady got up to speak, my spirit went, stand up. It's time to get into attention mode. It's time to not be casual and chatting to the person beside you and chilling. Someone in the room is releasing something, and did you hear it? And sit up straight. It's like being in class when the teacher said, sit up, Simnor, you're slouching. Now, flesh doesn't like that, right? Who are you to tell me to sit up and stand up? The Spirit. And the Spirit is in direct opposition to the flesh, and the flesh is in direct opposition to the Spirit. So they don't get on. But those of the Spirit love the Spirit. There is no offense in the Spirit. There is nothing harsh in the Spirit. That was not harsh if you're in the Spirit. That might be harsh if you're in the flesh. I invite that. That fills me with life. Doesn't make me want to run away. So if I'm asking myself, what was that, and I want to run away, you might want to ask if you're flesh or spirit. Right? Because spirit loves spirit. Flesh hates spirit, but flesh loves flesh. Loves its own kind, hangs out with its own kind, doesn't hang out with the other kind. But you and I were born for... Promise is. I like that. And some people say, you know, God's the promise today. Yes, he's the promise, but what about the promises in God? See, it's not just about knowing Jesus is your treasure. It's about knowing the treasure in Jesus that he has for you. Because it's always two, which is one, not just one. So the two, the promise and the promises, are to be one reality in us, coming from us to others, because we've been granted life and godliness in us to be releasing into dry ground. This is why you need to go from glory to glory, strength to strength, because if you're plateauing or stop, you can't release life into dry ground. You're becoming a dried up well yourself. And you were called with a promise to be more than that. Do you know the promise of God for you? Meaning us, not you as an individual. But it is for you as an individual, but it's for his body. Because you cannot separate the two. We love to, we try to, and we live in one, not the other, when we need to live in both, which is one. But we swing, right? It's either this or this. No, it's not. It's both, and they're one. So, Christian, how much of our life is being built and transformed by God's promise is for us? Like, how much of your now, right now, your present is built by God's promise. Now, if you don't even know the promise, then the answer is very simple. Because you can't be built by something you don't even know exists, even though it's written down. And it can't be an intellectual knowledge of a promise. It has to be a revealed reality living within you. Like, it's got to be living, active, sharper than a double-edged sword, because it's going to build and transform. The key words here are built and transform, being transformed by God's promises. So we have to take account, and we have to ask questions, and we have to measure ourselves not by ourselves, because that would be stupid. Because whenever I measure myself by myself, I'll always tell self, you're doing okay. You're getting better looking by the minute. And you're doing okay. But compared to him, and once again, you measure yourself through the lens of love, and that would inspire me, motivate me to want to know the more than life that Jesus says is in him. So I just don't want to know the promise. I want to lay hold of the promise and all the promises in him, because he said there are more promises or thoughts in him for us than what? The grain of sand in the entire world, not just here. I mean, and that cannot fit in your head, right? Don't even try to fit that in your head. Let your spirit receive the reality that God has more promises than the grains of sand for you and I to shape our lives, to see us living an abundant, eternal life now, not when we get to heaven, because we've lied to ourselves. We've said heaven's the goal, and it's not. Heaven is the outcome, but it's not the goal. The goal is living what? But living what now? Eternal life now. An abundant, full, overflowing, all-compassing life that is of power, that is going from strength to strength to strength to strength. It never stops. It's never in backward motion. There's no good looking back. What's the point of looking back? You turn into salt. So it's just one way. It's that corny song, One Way, Jesus. They love it in Cambodia. It's all they sing every time we go. So change the record, man. That and The Power of God by the guy in the 80s. Oh, my goodness me. I say, runner, you old man. He said, old soul. I said, you might be an old soul, but you need to renew the dial. But I love him, and we have a laugh. But every time, Michael W. Smith, I mean, come on. Loose, bring me into the now. There was nothing wrong with the past, but I'm not living in the past. I want to live in the now. But how does the future get shaped? How does my now get shaped by the future? Do you know the future is creating for me a glorious past? Yeah. Let me say that again. Do you know the future in God is creating for me a glorious past? Because I had a stinking past. You too. Right? 29 years dead in iniquity and sin, stinking, smelling, thinking I was the aroma of a rose, but really was the aroma of something else. Thinking and believing you're in life, but you're not, but you think you are, because you have no reference for anything else. You have no reference for a promise before the foundations of the earth that you were predestined for a reality that you didn't even know. So all you're left with is your reality. And your reality is looking at that going, how do I make life out of getting married, out of having kids, out of having a picket fence, out of having a home, out of a holiday home, a career, a sport, and everything that's not him, because you're human, because that's all you know, because you've got no idea of the promise before the foundations of the earth that he had marked you and me for a purpose. Like, people live their lives without purpose, never mind being part of God's family, right? What are you living for? Oh, I don't know. To be famous on TikTok.
had the most views on Instagram.
Man, you should go to Cambodia. Come to Cambodia with me, man. It's selfie party. Everywhere you go, there's no shame. Everyone's into it, right? We're into it here, but it's almost like on steroids there. You feel weird if you're not. Purposeless. But we are to be a people full of purpose. Full of it, overflowing with it, but not about purpose to do. Like, that's the lie. Not a purpose to do, a purpose to become. And then out of becoming, you know what happens? You just express who you're becoming. So your doing is an expression of your being. You're not trying to do something you're not. You're not putting it on, he's putting it in. And the promise defines your present and your future, and it's giving you a glorious past. So you go from stinking, rotten, smelly, sin, iniquity, flesh, painted up as what you think is life. Look at this, God, how amazing is it? Well, good effort. Not bad according to the flesh, but according to me in the spirit, it holds no value. It holds no worth. Like, I admire the good intention and I admire the time, energy and effort to building your own life. But it's pointless. We had sad news this week. Remember the young boy that came here with Maddie 2 months ago? He passed away on Tuesday. Man, he was in a car accident the week before. He's badly injured, obviously, and he passes away. 17-year-old boy, gone. Like that. He was here with us 2 months ago. You got to meet him, Paraidi, beautiful, young, spirited young man that had been beaten up and abused and lived a hellish life, but there was something upon him. And he's gone. Like that. I don't want to waste the day. Do you know today is a gift? You know, yesterday was history, right? And tomorrow is a mystery. But today is a gift. What are you doing with the gift you've been given? What are you entangled in? Like, is it this, guys? Or is it your promise for you? Is it your life? Are you still trying to shape a life that's dead and it can be taken from you like that? And the Bible says we're a vapor. Here today, gone tomorrow. But we don't live like that. We live as if we've got forever to enter into the fullness of this. And tomorrow will be the day. Because I'm really busy right now in my present. And so your today doesn't shape, thank you, your future in him. Your today shapes your future in you. And it's another day that's gone. And life is so precious. And life is so fragile. And in a blink, you know, this week I watched my daughter fall apart. Devastated by the news. And I held her as she literally collapsed in Dad's arms. Because the realization of death is as real as life. And someone who's 17 shouldn't be taken out. And when their own peer is killed, right? Okay, if you're Dad's age, it's not really, I'm still young, but if you're 70, 80, 90, whatever, that's, yeah, okay, that's sad, but we can put that in a box somewhere. But when it's someone, your peer, that you've had a relationship with is gone like that, what do you do with that? But you know what? If your life is shaped by this, then there is hope. Because you're not living for this. You're living in accordance to a promise
and promises that are eternal. And so although you grieve and although you weep, and we've wept as a family individually and together and weeping with Maddie, there is hope. Like we carry a hope. I've got a living hope because my hope isn't in earth. My hope isn't in life being good. My hope isn't whether I live another 5 years or whether I remember. My hope is in a person. My hope is in the one who said, I am the promise, and in me there are promises. So how much of my life today is being built and transformed by this other realm called Jesus Christ of Nazareth and everything contained? And is it a yes and a yes, or do I live a no and I'm not sure? Is my yes a yes and my no a no? Make your mind up, but don't sit in the middle. Right? One of the things that Sina said while we're away, which has stuck with me, which I'm using, which her mum said to her, is get that thing out of your system. Stop playing games. Stop putting 50 on that horse and 50 on that horse, walking in the middle, trying to get the best of both. Put your whole heart in one or put it in the other and discover life, or then discover death, and you'll realize that what you think is life is death, and you'll turn, you'll repent, and you'll find life, maybe for the first time, and then you'll start allowing the promise and the promises of God to shape you, not your good intentions, not your heart desires, not what you've been told and what you've dreamed up, which is pointless and earthless and futile, and when stuff like Tuesday happens, doesn't stack up. But you've got to have something in you that stands up and stacks up when life like that happens. Because I'm telling you right now, miracles don't do it. Signs and wonders don't do it. How many people you've reached doesn't do it. Having a cafe doesn't do it. Having a business, having a career doesn't stand up. It doesn't stack up when life turns up like that and goes, do you have in you what you need right now to not be taken out by what happened to you?
Amen.
And this is the divine invitation every day, because today is a gift. Yesterday was history. You cannot get it back. But is yesterday glorious? Because your future shaped yesterday. Is today going to be glorious? Because today is being shaped by the promise. And is tomorrow going to be glorious? Because it's being shaped by the promise. You see, I had a past. You had a past. You had it. We've all had a past. Do you let your present be shaped by your past? Now I'm flipping it, right? I'm talking about the negative past, which actually wasn't negative. It was positive because it led me to realize I need life. And that's why there's no loss in the 29 years of being in iniquity and sin, because now I know the gift. I know the worth and the value of the one who spilled his blood because of that. So I've got something to reference it to. If I don't, how do I know the value of the gift? Oh, it's okay. Thanks for dying for me. Not going to change me, but I'll take it. But when you know, and then you know, wow, then you're arrested. You see, you're arrested and you're confronted from a life that you thought was that isn't. And it's such a great day. In the present. And he goes, Greg, why are you digging up that stuff again? Well, why do we dig up the past? When there's no life in it outside of what's him. Can you hear what I'm trying to say? I would want you to look back on your past and go, wow, how amazing is my past, because it was defined by the promise. But a past that's not defined by the promise, it's defined by a problem, is an issue. And people live from their problems, not the promise. And people drag up their problems from the past. And he goes, what are you doing in the past? My blood covered all the past. Why do you keep bringing your insecurity, your jealousy, your bitterness, your this, your that, your this, your that, your stinking thinking? Why do you bring that from the old man into the new man? Do you know why you do it? Most people don't even know they do it. They don't know why you do it. You just do it, right? Because it's being shaped by the problem, not the promise. or you know is the problem, because you know you're more than you know who you're called to be. And when you start getting a revelation of the promise, you start discovering who you've been called to be, not who you were. God says, Greg, before you even had a past, son, I marked you with my blood before I even sent my son, and you were marked. You were sealed, son. But God, no, Greg, not but God in that way. It's but God in this way. He says, son, you keep bringing up who you were, not who I say you are. Why do you live like that, Greg? Because the problem that I dealt with is still shaping your belief system. Not my promise. You see, the promise through divine grace creates a belief that I start living in who I now am. And as I live in who I am, I'm hungry for more of what he says. So, where are we today? Where are we today in living a life defined by the promise and the promises versus your problems, your lack, what you say you don't have? Which one is shaping you? Because, guys, we were called and chosen before the foundations of the earth to know a whole lot of stuff. And I want to look at that today, quickly. Come with me to Ephesians 3. Sorry, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Do you know there's one word that you have to lose out of your vocab? It's excuses. We have all the excuses, literally under the sun, to keep us out of this. And what's even scary is we will even use scripture to back up our excuses. And we do that to justify ourselves so we can stay the same, because ultimately we're scared of what life outside of us actually looks like. See, part of the fall that we were poisoned with is we didn't just lose our place in eternity, right? We lost everything. And one of the things we gained was the control of our own lives, which is actually a curse. Because we were not created to control our own lives, were we? We're not the creation. We're not the creator, we're the creation. So part of the poison of the fall is we became the controller of us. But now you're faced with the reality that that wasn't how you were born. Because before you were born in him, before it all began, you were one with him. Which means he was the life source of you, you were not. So there needs to be a reversal of that reality, right? Because you can't enter into the promise and the promises of God, and your life will not be defined and transformed if you are still controlling you. If you're still the source of you trying to enter into, no matter how good your intentions are, it's a counterfeit. It's a form of godliness. You can look like you're living godly, but you will never be godly. It's called a form, and you reject the power, because when he comes to sever you from being the controller of you, you actually reject it, not knowing what you're doing, and you deny it, and so you maintain in your form of godliness as you as your own Godhead, as you as your own Lord, and so you're always vacant of the life you can know, because there hasn't been a transaction between him and you by grace. It's just been your good intention and your good idea as to why you came to him. And this is why many Christians today are not in the overflowing inner life of Christ. Because when the opportunity comes, not the way they expect or want or ask for, but it comes when he hears the cry, they actually reject God, never realizing that's what they're doing. That's the problem, right? You don't even recognize what you're doing. You think it's not rejecting God. You think it's the one bringing the word. You think it's a crazy woman who sounded a little bit aggressive, but who's not, if you have ears, releasing a reality, asking a question that is life and life abundant. But you hear it wrong, you go... And you've got to ask, why does that pop up? Because the spirit of humility never does that, even if she's being a little bit aggressive. The spirit of humility loves. The spirit of humility would go towards. Hear what I'm saying? So you've got to ask yourself either way, if it pops up, why is it popping up? Even if someone is being not what they're called to be or not from the spirit. So you always got to ask yourself the question, right? Not that, here. Yeah. Why is that coming out if this is supposed to be love? Doesn't look like love. Getting a bit aggressive on it. What's that about? It's hardly Jesus. And I don't have a demon. So the only option is it's still the flesh. So, powerful reality of this life we're caught into before we ever were. And unfortunately, many people live from the past. And their past shapes their present, and their present shapes their future. So their future is actually being shaped by a wrong-thinking past that Jesus dealt with. And they never lay hold of, in their reality, in their present, the life in Christ that will shape their future in Christ. Which means you'll never receive the inheritance in Christ because your life pretty much stayed the same, but you were justified. But God, you were created for this incredible promise. So I want to read you and unpack just some of this very quickly. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in Christ. The first reality which would stop you in your tracks if you know what you're looking at. Not reading, looking at. You can read that and continue on. When you see that, you stop. What's it saying? Someone tell me what I just read out. What is the scripture prophesying? Life. But what does it literally say? What is it saying you, we have? Or let's say the Ephesians have. Every spiritual blessing. Now Paul is identifying himself and us. Whoever us is. You can't just say I have this because you say you have this. This is something that is where? Where is the blessing? In what? In Christ, right? So it says in heavenly places. People think, oh, I'm in heaven. No, in the spiritual reality, heavenly places, in Christ himself who is spirit. So everything is in Christ. The question you get asked this morning by Sina was what? Say it again.
Am I all in him?
Because in him is all life and spiritual blessing. So he's in you, but are you in him? You may not even have him in you. You might not be born again. Ask yourself that question. Are you born of the Spirit while being justified? Right? There's step one. Well, justified's one. Step two is born of the Spirit in you. Now, are you in him? Because he didn't just come into you that you could stop. He came into you that you could then come into him and be complete as one. And in that reality of one is all the spiritual blessings of life. So there's no excuses because what he did, it's done, it's finished, but is he finishing it within you or have we stopped? Because if you stop, then your life is not being defined by the promise and the promises, it's being defined by your thoughts, your feelings, and what happens to you on a daily basis. And you're making your decisions based on external things, not on the promise. So he's telling the Ephesians here, he's saying, blessed be God and Father, who has blessed us, because Paul is a prophetic picture of the church that's going from strength to strength because he used to be Saul. And he's saying, we have this in heavenly places in Christ. That's number one. What a promise that is to enter into if you're the Ephesian church. And the letter wasn't just written for the Ephesians, it was written to a number of other churches. So he's writing to us as well, even though we're 2,000 years into the future. So here's a man in his present that was declaring a reality that he never used to know as Saul, and it's shaping us, who are 2,000 years into the future. See how the word is timeless? It's eternal. It just is, right? We live in a finite reality on earth, but in the eternal, it doesn't end. So is my life being shaped by the promises, which creates an eternal life which is timeless, which enables me to wait? On what? On God to do what God said he'd do. Not get all anxious and panxious in my pants and go, hurry up, you're not doing it, you're not doing it, because I'm really busy here and I've got things to do. Why? Because my life isn't being shaped by this, it's being shaped by me. But see, the eternal life takes hold of you, and all of a sudden it transforms you and gives you the ability to live from, not towards, a reality. So almost like time is irrelevant now. Yet you know it says, prepare in me a heart of wisdom, because they only have a limited time here on earth. Can you hear the difference of what I'm saying? So you live in another time reality because it's within you and it's eternal, even though you know you live in the tick, 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 tick here on earth. How cool is that? So when you're asked to do what he asks you to do, you can, because of the eternal life in you, not the earthly life in you that fights back and can't wait. Go into that room and wait. I can't wait. Why? Because I don't have the life in me that empowers me to wait, because it's not being shaped by the promise, it's being shaped by the problem, and the problem is I'm still the Lord of my life. You hear the difference? And we're to live in the better of what I just said. The eternal, not the earth. And here you've got this promise. We have something. Every spiritual blessing. Wow. But he wanted more. Just as he chose us, where? In him, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Second promise. You were chosen where? Did you know that at the time? No. You got a clue, right? When you were born, you don't know that. You got no reference for that. You thought you were born from your mum and dad. You thought your mum and dad gave you life, didn't you? Wrong. Who gave them life? Well, their mum and dad. Wrong. But you didn't choose to be born at all, did you? No. So if you didn't choose to be born, how did you get here? Mum and dad. Wrong. Exactly. I was just contemplating then whether I was going to say something and I held it. So, chosen in him. Now, the problem is, when you're born, you don't know him, which means you don't know who. You don't know you. You don't know who you've been created to be, because you don't know him, because you were born in him. So until you know him, you'll never know who you are. Who do you say I am? It's way more than just, who are you, Lord? He's saying, if you know who I am, not just answer intellectually, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go on a journey to discover who you are. But if you don't know who I am, you'll never know who you are. So you'll live from who you think you are, which is a fallen being, and you'll live from that place, and then you'll try to enter into godliness from that place. So you'll only have a form of godliness and wonder why you're empty on the inside and stuck, as opposed to going from life to life to life and much fruit being produced in and through you, because you're able to abide in something, not try. But because you don't know him, you don't have a reality of the promise. So instead of being shaped from the promise of I was chosen in him before I ever sinned, before I ever fell, my goodness, what would it have been like for Greg Simnor if at the day he was born, his parents were in Christ and started to share with Greg, this is where you're really from, son, in him. So you're not that. You're a son from birth, not a sinner who's trying to discover what it is to be a son. Like, how would that have shaped my life now? So I had 29 years. What would that have looked like, Steve? Amazing. I wouldn't have struggled with all the stuff I struggled with because I would have known who I really was. I wouldn't have been looking for my identity in stuff. I wouldn't have been looking for my worth in things. I wouldn't have been looking where I was looking. I wouldn't have been looking at the cabinet going, maybe a chicken cranberry panini is what I'm looking for. That's going to shape me. No, it's not. I tried that. It's a ham cheese croissant. No, it's not even that because I had five of them. It's a ginger slice. Shoot, none of this is working. I'm still left empty trying to figure out through all the options who I am. And then someone comes along and says, son, stop. Stop that bus. Let me share with you. Before you even were. Just stop and receive and let me breathe life into your spirit. What would my life have been? But I don't live in the what might it have been because it wasn't. What I live in is the now, but it's helped me get a hold of what is the now and the future because I've got a reference for what I was not called to be. Now I've got a reference for what I'm called to be. In him who is the promise, and I'm hungry and thirsty for every promise. And if you're not going to eat yours, Chris Logan, I'm going to take yours and I'm going to eat it. And the Bible says it's okay. Right? It says take from the one who what he even thinks he has and give it to the one who has 10. So I've got scripture to back it up. And then I might share it with you. I might share my ginger slice. What a promise. Which means, you know, the spirit of rejection is massive, right? And I believe it comes from fatherlessness. So many people have father issues because dad was broken. Maybe doing his best. All he knew how to do because he had father issues. And it's ravaging people because the spirit of rejection comes upon, which means you actually reject the Father and you reject those the Father sends. But when you get a revelation of this, gone. Like gone. Never comes back. Why? Because he replaces the spirit of rejection with the spirit of acceptance.
Very good.
He says, I won't reject you. I accept you. Not based on your cock-ups, Steve. Not based on your past, present. You haven't cocked up yet because it's not your future, but you're going to, right? And not based on your behavior, Steve. It's based on the blood. Like it's all about the blood, geez, Steve. Not geez. But not drinking juice, the blood. That is a symbolic foreshadowing of something far greater. Do you know the blood, not the juice? Do you know the blood, not the wine? You see, you can go through religious practice week in, week out, day in, day out, and take wine and bread and nothing because you don't know the blood. But you honor it, but you don't know it. And so this promise doesn't become your reality. So you live with a spirit of rejection when you're called to live with a spirit of acceptance, knowing your Father, knowing who you are, and being set free. So then you can what? Help people who struggle with a spirit of rejection. You can't get them healed, but you can share your testimony of how you were broken and how this man came along and imparted himself within you, and now you have life and hope to share with someone knowing you can't change them, but if they choose, because he came to set the captive free. He didn't come to build a hospital and call it the church. He came to build and transform the church so the church can be a physical, tangible reality of a life-giving source who knows the source because they know the promise and the promises, and their life is being built and defined upon it. Not trying to put it on, but having Him put in. You see, it says put on the armor of God. It's not meaning put it on. It means let God put it in so it's on you, so when attack comes, it's in you. And we're all trying to put it on. Put on the belt, it's on. Put on the shield, so I'm all ready to go, right? Feels weird because it's not in me, but it's on me. Can't get me sword out because I don't know what it is really. And then all of a sudden someone says something negative. This is why you're not getting a job. You take that in, you fester on it, now you're worrying about it. It's been a week, but he had his armor on. What happened? The word went straight through. I mean, ping, straight through his helmet. Good helmet that was. Absolute rubbish. Rubbish teaching from the demonic presence where it should never have come from. Right? The armor is put in you. Because who is your armor? He is. You don't put him on. He comes in you. Then he's upon you. And then you walk. So take your best shot. I don't care what you say. Don't care what you think in that negative context. And I don't. I don't care what you think, what you say about me. I care the fact that you're believing a lie and that's stopping you from receiving from me, but I don't care whether you like me or not because my identity is not in you. My identity is in Him. You don't have my heart, so you can't hurt my heart, so I don't care what you say about me. I'm not here for your favor. I'm not here for your thanks. I'm not here for you. I'm here for Him. Period. And if we get to have fellowship, cool. If we get to have a relationship, it's even better. But I'm not here for any of that. Right? And you live almost like this bulletproof reality, like he did. But you're not perfect, and you still struggle. You got to hear me, right? Your life is being shaped by promises, and it's shaping your inner realm. And because he gives you everything, you're able to love the one that doesn't like you. You're able to love the one that hates you, who lies about you. You're able to pray for those brothers and sisters in the world that are anti the Christ in you. You don't get entangled. You don't get entangled with bitterness and unforgiveness. Why? Because your armor was in you. You didn't get offended. Why? Because the armor was in you. And the armor does what it says it does. But if you only put it on like a ritual, then it's not in. Because you can't put it in. You can only put it on. But when he puts it in through receiving the promises and your life is being built, being transformed by God and his promises, then you walk and stand firm and you resist everything the demonic throws at you and you overcome what? The gates of hell. Why? Because Jesus is building what? His church. So it says, I build my church, right? What is he building upon? Himself and every promise that is in him through the spirit of revelation. And the church he's building on the inside, the gates of hell do not overpower. What are the gates of hell? Every demonic spirit, every demonic force, the culture, the world, and your flesh of another. Because you have nothing within you. So the demonic can't play because he's got nothing in you. And the world's losing its attractiveness because what's in you is greater. And you actually then can really lay your life down and be a bondservant because it's being shaped. Because you know what the will of God is. Not what is my will for my life here on earth. That's a demonic statement, guys. Now when I say demonic, I don't mean a demon is in you if you say that. I mean it's your flesh. Everything of the flesh is demonic, right? It's not of man. So that's what I'm meaning. Anything that's not of man is the flesh is of the opposite of God. So it's anti-God. So saying this, what is the will of my life, God? Is a wrong statement. The statement is this: God, what is your will?
Yeah.
We are not here for us. If you are, you haven't transitioned out of you into Him. You are not here for you. You are here for Him. Right? Your life is not yours. He gave you life on the basis of a brand new life, and a brand new life that would live with and for Him and His purpose and His plan. And you've been predestined for that, not for figuring out your earthly goals for 80 years and trying to live a good life before you check out. That will have you not receiving your inheritance at the time of the judgment seat. You are saved, justified, but you didn't live the life you were chosen for, because you never got to discover, because you were still on the center of your own life. And when the opportunity came, you said, thanks, Jesus, but nah. Thanks, Jesus, but nah. And you can do that the whole time. Thank you, Lord, but nah. And He gives you the freedom to do that. And He won't enforce you. But He tells you things like this: I chose you in my Son before. And I chose you for me to be my possession, not to be your own possession. And He says, what do you want to do? Let me tell you about the promise. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. Right? Not to Mr. Wright. Not Mrs. Wright. Not little Wrights that we try to find life through, that we suck life out of. Quite sick, really, isn't it? Draining someone else because you don't know life and calling it love and masquerading it as love and using someone for your own selfish satisfaction and calling it love. Wow. But not knowing any different, because you don't know any different, because you haven't seen any different, so you're just being human. Right? You're just living as you're being created, because you don't yet know the promise and the promises that's not how my children live. My children don't suck life out of other people because they're incomplete. They don't use people like assets. Man, is that one we need to get hold of? Saying we love one another and we use one another as assets. Yeah. Even the aliens are saying yes and amen. I should say the angels, sorry. Can you hear that? Do you know it goes on, right? People like me use people like you to do function and task because of the mindset that I think He calls building the church. And when you lose your value or you don't perform to the level that you should, you know what I go do? I take you and I put you over there to harvest, and I go grab a new model who's more anointed, better singer, better preacher, better this, better that. Whatever happened to old Steve Grove that used to play the electric guitar? Oh, I don't know. He got the hump and left. Why do you think that was? Oh, I don't know. Attitude problem. Could it have been how you used him? Could it be how you treated him? Like a slave, not a brother. Wanting to use him for his gift to build the thing you thought was building the church, but it never was. Nah. Certainly not. Maybe. And just extend that out to humanity. That's how you're going to live if you don't know this. Because that's all you know how to live. Selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed, life-sucking, looking for life out of everything but the one who gave life, because you are still trapped in a reality that He wants to release you from so you can start living the complete opposite to what He's called and why He created us. So predestined to adoption as sons. To live as sons, not slaves. Which means he chose, right? If you adopted someone, then you've chosen them. The natural doesn't choose in the sense of you might go, I will have a kid. But the kid's already born. So I'm choosing you to be part of us. Isn't that what God's done? Born out of, and he's chosen, he's adopted us with the spirit of adoption called sonship. So when that sonship spirit hits my spirit, Abba Father is the cry of the Holy Spirit, not my spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit says, Abba Father, we found home and we're now one with our lost family. And then I just go live for me. Wrong. But that's how you can live. If you don't even understand the magnitude of the promise, you go, thanks very much. Now I just go live. I. He's going, no, stop. Because that's not why I created you. It's not why I saved you. I created you to know me. And out of knowing me and falling in love with me like I love you, we're going to have the most intense, intimate fellowship, not relationship, fellowship, oneness. And out of that oneness that's formed by the vertical cross, because it's a promise, you're going to find others that you have oneness with. Fellowship, not relationship. Relationship is of earth. The church knows how to do it really well. It stinks at fellowship. But you can't have fellowship unless you have fellowship with the one who created you. That is an outcome of that. You don't work at that. It just is. See, you got to work at relationship, right? Relationship takes what? Time, energy, effort. Can't get offended. Because if you do, breaks the relationship. So a church built on relationship with one another is just waiting to fall apart. Because when the word comes, which is going to separate relationship and fellowship, boom. But a church built on fellowship with the Father, which does take time, but not work. Who's doing the work? Yes. What are you doing? And being worked upon and in. So he goes to work while you are in Sabbath rest. Then out of that, you naturally flow and you're looking for those of your kind of fellowship. Who has the mind of Christ in this room? And that I can dialogue with the mind of Christ, not, why are you looking at me like I'm just talking some French language to you? Who has the same spirit in the room? Spirit of humility. Who has the same one purpose in the room? Same mind, spirit, love, purpose. Why? Talk to me about what he's doing in you and all. And time, right? 5 hours. You're like, want to keep going? Well, we could. It's midnight. We've got work tomorrow. Ah, stuff it. Let's go for another hour. And God empowers the next day because you honored him for one more hour. And it's 6 hours. And no one fell asleep, Steve, and no one fell out the window. Why? Because we're all held in the presence of the word, because what's emanating out of me and what's emanating out of you, this imitation, is life-giving, and I want more and more. And while we stay in this, that natural time and physical energy is not even a factor for these two guys because that's over there. And while we lock on and stay in, it's life and life and life and life. And all of a sudden, it's 6 hours later. We go, what do we talk about? Him and him and him. And then you go, man, I'm knackered. Because you step out of that realm which is still within you, and now your physical body, right, because you've been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, and when you come out of the wilderness, only when you come out of the wilderness are you then hungry. Who was that? Christ himself, right? When he came out of 40 days and he was fasting, eating nothing, because what was holding him was the fellowship with his Father, and they were partaking daily of the manna from above. And when he comes out, he's like, oh, I'm a bit hungry. And then the demonic shows up to try to tempt him to do something that he was never going to do, because he knew and was having fellowship with his Father. But the point is, you can go and go and go and go and go and go when you're in fellowship. But you can't when you're in relationship, because it's limited. It has its boundaries. Your belly starts getting hungry. You've got pre-things planned. Nothing wrong with those things. But do you choose them over in a moment where you might be receiving something that's eternal? And you miss. So the gift of today wasn't a gift. You never took your gift and say it on the table. So your tomorrow won't be shaped by your today. And your past will creep into your future or your present tomorrow. And it'll be like Groundhog Day. Yet it didn't need to be, because of him and what he says and everything he's written down. The will of God is written down, right? Was spoken and written down. It is the best kept secret that is concealed, but it's written down for you. So you don't have to go looking, in the sense of it's contained in his spirit and in these scriptures that are spirit and life. So do you know it? Because if you don't, then your life isn't aligned by it, and it has a manifold reality to it. So the will of God is not just one thing. It's a manifold reality, but it is one dimension. That makes sense? Right. So it's one dimension, but there's a manifold aspect to it, just like there is to Christ. He's one, but there's a manifold aspect, and you need to know all the aspects to make up the one dimension, which is the one will. When you know the one will, and you're coming to know the one will, and you're coming to know it more and more and more and more, because you're hungry and thirsty for what you don't know, how much of your life do you think is shaped and defined, and then what does your life look like, and what do other people experience when they meet you, brother? Who do they meet? Greg Simner of 29 years, or a brand new creation, because Christ lives in the new creation. So who they actually get to see is Christ and the brand new man. Not that guy. Christ and my life hidden in Christ, which you can't separate. So we don't become gods, but we do become Christ-like. Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you're so kind, and you're so gentle, and you're so patient, and you give us multiple opportunities all in one day, which is a gift. And I thank you today as a gift. I thank you for life. I just want to pray for Pirati's family right now as they have the funeral tomorrow and celebrate his life, but at the same time grieve his death. Pray for the Nana and the granddad and every family member, sister in Australia. I just pray your presence, your supernatural comfort to descend onto every heart now, every home now in the marae, that your supernatural joy, your peace that goes beyond anyone's capability to grasp and understand but can experience, and that you would be forever present. And you would take such a horrific thing and use it for your glory through the power of love. And so, Father, we just lift that family to you right now in Jesus' name. And I just want to lift ourselves to you, Lord, because What an honor it is and a gift it is to have our eyes enlightened in the knowledge of you that enables us to live a life that is supernatural. Supernaturally graced, supernaturally loved, supernaturally favored because of a person who came and died and rose again and said, in me, I am the light of all men. In him is life, and that light is the light of men. And as you grow in us as light and life and love and Lord, then we shine this radiance of glory, going from strength to strength of this glory, just like you did on Mount Transfiguration. We don't camp there. We don't build a home there. It's a transitional point again of maturity. Because our location is in you, Father. It's not here on earth. It's not in a building. It's not even here today in Upper Hutt. It's in you. Teach us what it is to have our location in you and you in us. And that we would be the recipients of this divine work of grace. That we would testify and witness of your goodness. You're a good, good Father, building your church the way you design in your patterns. And I just want to honor you again in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.